Well, eligibility requirements for the mother and baby institutions have caused anger and distress to survivors, and access to records is urgently needed. That's according to the annual report of the Special Advocate for Survivors, who highlights concerns of survivors of institutional abuse. Patricia Carey is the Special Advocate. She joins us now in studio. Good morning.
Morning, Keane.
Before we get into your report, you were appointed by government last year. What's your role?
My role essentially is to act independently. So although appointed by government, I act independent of government and of the Department of Children to hear the concerns of survivors and indeed of their families. Over 15% of people who contact me are family members of those who spend time in institutions. And really to bring those concerns and to amplify them to government, to policymakers and to those who can make a real difference. And one of the things I'm calling for is for once and for all, after 30 years of apologies for politicians and government officials, to stand up and to put in place proper redress where nobody is excluded.
For your annual report, you met 1,300 survivors of institutional abuse. What did they tell you?
They told me these are out of a cohort of, there was over 250,000 people in various institutions between 1922 and 1998. And it's important to remember that the last mother and baby institution only closed in 1998. They've told me that they are re-traumatised by the government making apologies and then saying that they're excluded from various redress schemes. They told me that they want access to enhanced healthcare. They want access to the Health Amendment Act card, not to the so-called enhanced medical card, which is currently on offer. They told me that they want enhanced housing supports, and I'm calling on government to include the status of survivor as a housing status application. So if somebody's applying for housing, they can say that they have lived in an institution during their early life and they now need housing supports.
Access to records, a real concern.
The biggest issue. I was quite surprised, Keen. The biggest issue that has come to me, 3 out of every 5 people, they're still looking for records. Records are still in the hands of private and religious organisations, both the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. Private nursing homes, religious orders still hold records related to people's times in institutions. They've no right to hold them. They have to hand them over to the state.
Well, what needs to be done?
There needs to be legislation. There was legislation last October, the Preservation of Records Act, which made it a criminal offence to move or destroy records. I believe that the next stage of that legislation is to take in charge those records, that they are given to the National Archives and that the people they relate to have access to their own records.
How quickly does it need to happen?
It needs to happen immediately. We've had over 200 years of people in institutions before the foundation of the state. People are aging out of this process. I had a woman who was 78 who asked for her records and was told to contact 6 different organisations for her own records of the time she spent in institutions.
Access to redress. Some people are still excluded. Who are they? What needs to happen?
Well, I mean, the list goes on. In the Mother and Baby Commission of Inquiry, much maligned, the only institutions that are covered are the county homes and 14 mother and baby institutions. I know and we know that there were a network of over 180 institutions. So institutions like West Bank Orphanage in Greystones, Temple Hill, which was a so-called hospital. I've never met or heard of anyone other than a child due to be adopted who spent time in Temple Hill. And there's a whole myriad of institutions. It's interesting, in Northern Ireland, they're going to bring in a mother and baby redress scheme where people will receive redress for one day spent, and in Ireland it's 100, in the Republic it's 180 days. So that has really upset people. People who receive redress feel guilty because others can't. So we have a whole myriad of exclusions. One of the biggest ones is that children who are boarded out as young as 5 years of age to work on farms unpaid have never been included in any redress scheme.
Now, you mentioned this special status for housing. Why are you underlining that?
Because it's a no cost to government. It would mean that if somebody was making an application for housing, the same way as you would say you had a particular medical issue or a disability, you would receive extra points on the housing application waiting list. I believe that survivor status for those people who don't have families, who are forcibly separated from their families, or who didn't have any early life experience of a home, should be given additional waiting and status on housing. housing lists.
You're making a lot of recommendations in the annual report. You're the voice of survivors of institutional abuse. Finally, what's the main thing that government needs to do to get all this started?
They need to take a human rights approach to it and stop excluding people both from access to redress and access to their records.
Patricia Carey, Special Advocate for Survivors of Institutional Abuse. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
Keane. It's now 7:44.